Let us listen to today's reading from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12, the story of the wise men, the visitors from the east.
Visitors from the east. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star when it came up in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea," they answered, "for this is what the prophets wrote. Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah, for from you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel." So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: "Go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him." And so they left, and on their way they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were! What joy was theirs! It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and presented them to him. Then they returned to their country by another road, since God had warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod.
And so the wise men followed a star. They travelled hundreds of miles to see Jesus. Well, over the years, people have tried to find an explanation for this star, but we don't really know for sure what the Magi saw in the sky. Some have suggested it was an alien spacecraft. Others that it was a visitation from Halley's Comet, which orbits the Earth every 76 years. Or the alignment of Jupiter and Saturn in the 7th century BC, or Jupiter and Venus, 6 BC, or even perhaps a star which has suddenly increased in brightness before fading. Such theories are difficult to reconcile with Matthew's Gospel, which tells us that the star journeyed to Bethlehem and halted over the place where the child was. That poses a question, doesn't it? Does a comet stop and hover over a particular village or town? You know, maybe it was quite simply a miracle, because God does work in mysterious and miraculous ways. But perhaps an explanation lies in ancient writers who reported the birth of great figures in history. According to Roman writings, the birth of Julius Caesar was preceded by the appearance of a star, as was the birth of Alexander the Great. So perhaps Matthew wanted to make it clear that this event, the birth of Jesus, was an extraordinary event. For Jesus was human like us, and yet at the same time was the Son of God. And of course, he had to be God in order to save us. And he had to be a man in order to die for us. And so maybe Matthew included the appearance of a celestial body to emphasize the importance of the birth of Jesus. So this mysterious star is one aspect of the astounding story of his birth. And so the star they saw in the east led them to King Herod and then on to see Jesus. The wise men and their gifts. Now, these wise men, important as they may have been, were wise enough to know that this baby, this child, was going to be special, and special for poor people like the shepherds, special for the rich, for the wise, and the powerful people too. We're told that the wise men gave gifts to the child Jesus. So what did they give and what do they tell us about Jesus? Well, firstly, gold. This was a gift traditionally given to kings, and it emphasized that Jesus came to be king. Secondly, frankincense. This was made from various gum resins, which, when burned, give off a strong fragrance. And as it burns, the smoke rises, and this is a symbol for Christians of their prayers rising to God. And it emphasizes Jesus' role as a priest who is to lead people in prayer and towards God. And then finally, myrrh. This is also taken from the gum of certain trees, and it was used as an oil for rubbing on the body, and it was used particularly when people were close to death. Perhaps the equivalent today would be oils used in aromatherapy. And it emphasized that Jesus came to suffer and to die, just like the prophets before him. So there we have Jesus, king, priest, prophet. And the gifts that they brought were valuable. You know, for a working class family, it must have been something like winning the lottery. Well, these magi were not devout Jews. In fact, they were Gentiles. They were not Jews. But they were not the only people to visit the baby and his family. The first Jews to see the baby Jesus, Christ's child, were the shepherds. And we can also imagine that the family members living in Bethlehem might have called to pay their respects. And so there's perhaps a couple of lessons or more here, but let us look at two just very quickly, and I mentioned them. First, that Jesus came not only for Jews, but for all people and all nations. And secondly, that the Christian life is a journey, a spiritual journey that takes us from where we are to where we should be. And to make the journey is to walk the Emmaus Road, that same journey taken by two disciples after Jesus' death, which brings us to an encounter with the risen Jesus through the reading of Scripture, the breaking of bread, and the experience of joy in the encounter. And to make the journey is to walk not only to a stable, but to a cross. For we remember that Jesus died for all people. He died for Hindus, he died for Muslims, he died for the Buddhists, he died for everybody, for you and for me. Paul said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, 2,000 years ago, God hung his gift on a tree. And he put your name on it. So you have reason to be glad. And Jesus had this to say about the Christian journey. from Matthew 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to come with me, he must forget self, carry his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his own life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Will people gain anything if they win the whole world but lose their life? Of course not. There is nothing they can give to regain their life." So as we've seen, the Magi, the wise men, gave gifts to the child Jesus. So what gifts should we bring to Jesus? What do we give to a king who would suffer, die and rise again to give us eternal life? Well, Christina Rossetti seems to have got the answer when she wrote in her famous hymn, "Yet what I can I give him, give my heart." And some words from an unknown monk. "When I was a young man, I wanted to change the world. I found it difficult to change the world, so I tried to change my nation. When I found I couldn't change the nation, I began to focus on my town. I couldn't change the town, and as an older man, I tried to change my family. But now, as an old man, I realise that if long ago I had changed myself, I could have made an impact on my family. And my family and I could have made an impact on our town. Their impact could have changed the nation, and I could have indeed have changed the world." The wise men journeyed to Jesus. They met Jesus and they responded by worshipping him. And you know, however much we know about Jesus, it's no good unless we meet him ourselves. And many thousands of Christians around the world have had an encounter with Jesus, have been changed by him, and say that they know, love, trust, and follow him. The story of the wise men helps us to focus our hearts and minds on Jesus, to seek his face, to renew our love for him, and to bring the best gift that we can offer, ourselves, to his feet. Amen.